Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
The following program was recorded Thursday, July the 2nd, 2009. From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, I'm Todd Gleason. This is Illinois Public Media. The commodity markets closed for the holiday week on Thursday afternoon. We'll resume trade on Sunday evening. Hear the way the numbers settled in Chicago for the week. The high, the low, and the settlement price for the composite trade in the July wheat pit for the soft red at $5.40 on its high. The low at $4.95¾ with the settlement price at $5.25. July soft red winter wheat futures in Chicago down 34 cents from last Friday's settlement price. July the O10 contract at $5.94¾, down 31½. July corn futures for the week had a high of $3.84½, a low at $3.37¾, and a settlement price at $3.45¾, finished 38½ cents lower than last week. And December futures at $3.56¾, down 46¾, most of that coming after USDA released its report on Tuesday morning showing an 87 million acre corn crop. That's about 2.8 million acres more than the trade had expected. July soybean futures for the week at $12.65½ top, a bottom at $11.90. And despite the fact that USDA is now predicting the largest harvested acres for soybeans on record, a $12.43 settlement price in the nearby July up 42 cents and the November up 15 at $10.06 on the week. July oat futures at $2.15½ settlement price up 6¼. From the CME Group's livestock side, the nearby live cattle futures finished the August contract at $82.55, up 7½ cents. If you were looking in the August to August, it was up $2.47½. The August is the new lead option in the live cattle, with a high this week of $86 and a low at $82.55. August feeders, a $103.45 settlement price, up $4.47½. July lean hogs at $60.10 on its high, the low at $56.90, and a settlement price at $59.97½, up $3.27½. In just a moment, you'll be joined by Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. And then later in the program, Gary Schnicki from the University of Illinois will be here to talk us through the ACRE program. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the line with us to take a look at the agricultural markets as they traded for the week ending on Thursday, July the 2nd. Is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks, Mike, for taking the time with us today. We appreciate it greatly.
You bet, Todd.
So let's start out with the marketplace and the way the futures ended on the week. It was kind of interesting because by the time you got to the end of the week and you finished soybeans off lower for the day on Thursday, but they still gained 42 cents in the nearby July on the week, and the November was up 15 cents for the week. What does it tell you about the marketplace?
Well, the report day was a key level day for the technicals and the beans, Todd, and also I think the trend psychology for fund commitment as far as longs coming back into the fund, the longs and the funds coming back in as longs into soybeans. We hit the 200-day moving average in the November contract. We tested a major support line in the August contract, and then we had word after the report that China was in for 116,000 tons of beans for 08-09, a true surprise to the market. And so when we got to that point, it was a big, big issue that, okay, the technicals held on the report day, and then all of a sudden the markets came back very, very strongly with the new Chinese numbers. And so what we heard at the end of the day after the report, was we had some actual index fund buying along with commodity fund trading buying as well.
Well, how do you reconcile what we've got in terms of the fundamentals at the moment? And correct me if I'm wrong, that we have a very short old crop supply at this point. here in the U.S., mostly based on the very short crop that was harvested in South America. The new crop supply that should be harvested this fall in the United States, if the acreage report is correct, will be very big, probably over 3 billion bushels. It is the largest planted and largest harvested acreage on record from USDA. And then 6 months later, we should get another, if it's a normal crop year, good-sized crop in South America.
Well, and it's a great question because you are going to have to reconcile something. The 117 million bushels of the last report that USDA gave us for bean ending stocks for 08-09 is probably going to be more looked upon as maybe closer to 120 or 125 now that the stocks report came out. However, if we keep the same demand pace, there are some in Chicago still thinking we're going to go below 100 million before it's all said and done. And so when I look at that and when I look at the fact that the early bean crop is in jeopardy right now of not really developing fast enough to get the beans off in time for the September contract, I think what we're looking at is a continuation of the August and the September, especially since it's now almost $2 cheaper than the July beans. I think the September beans in particular have the ability to continue to support the November beans for the next 30 days. I think that while the corn could continue to erode because the trade's going to trade 87 million acres and 155 yield for the next 20 to 30 days unless we have weather problems, I think the trade's going to be more respectful of the beans, and they're going to try and keep the premium in the beans. And so what we've kind of outlined is, okay, where is kind of the go-no-go gauge, the bullish, not bullish mark in the August beans, because they theoretically would be the strongest out there. And I think the key number for the August beans is a major support line just under the $10 level. So if we would see August beans, just below the $11 level, if we'd go below $11 in August beans, then that would probably give out a lot of bearish signals. I also think with the acreage report, it's probably not quite right yet, and I would look for maybe the bean acres actually to go up in the next couple, 3 months, whether it's through planted acres or harvested acres. I would suspect that we're going to see some planted acreage increases still for the soybeans in 09. So I think the spread is going to continue to stay very, very strong. That will limit your demand. And, you know, China's the big question mark, but I've got to believe that if the August beans go up to where the July are and get up to that 1250 level, we're really going to see China pull back from trying to buy any more and use more of their domestic stocks, because we're starting to hear they do have a surplus and their crushing margins are running about negative now, so there's really no need to crush for meal, and they do have ample meal supplies is what we're hearing, and obviously by them exporting not too long ago, that's proof positive of that.
So let me clarify a couple of things. On the old crop beans, the upside potential, you don't see a $16 bean out there?
No, we don't.
Okay. The case, but there was probably somebody wondering.
I think, you know, what we're going to be doing is buying $12 September calls and selling $14 September calls for our re-ownership of future sales here in the next 30 days on a rally in the November and re-own in the September. So our bias is $13.50 is going to stop it pretty quickly.
Right. So if you've got old crop beans, take the advice there. Hold on to them if you're willing to do it. And there's probably not that many in there anyway. Hold on to them for kind of the Vegas-style bean sale, right?
Correct.
And
yeah,
then
if you break through $11, that's a trend line and the 50-day moving average, then I would suspect, given what the fundamentals are and given this report and given we're in the middle of the weather market, if we break $11 in August, that's a sign that the bull rally's over with for now.
Yeah, and so at that point, when you pull the trigger on the old crop beans, are you going to also pull trigger on new crop sales?
Without a doubt, because we think the acres are going to go up again in the subsequent reports, and we also think the demand's not going to be nearly as good in new crop beans as it has been the past 12 to 14 months.
And do you think that those sales will, those triggers will both be coming, roughly speaking, at the same time, or will new crop break away faster?
I think it'll come at the same time, because the spread, if we stay in a bull spread where the front end keeps the back end premium in it, then I think that'll work, and then the trade will be very, very cautious about wanting to sell too many new crop beans. But I think what it goes back to is there's going to be a line here, a time period here. I suspect it's going to be closer to the end of the July time period when we see and get an idea of August weather for new crop, and then we also get an idea of where the demand really sits in the next 30 days, that the trade's going to feel comfortable to go ahead and let the old crop drop, but the new crop will drop faster.
Okay, and then on the new crop, you've given us, I think, an $11 mark on the old crop. If it breaks below that, we're done. Do you have something on the Novi beans? We're at, what, 10.06 for this week as a settlement price?
Great question. You know, we have talked about the 10.40 level and how good that was, a go, no-go gauge for making new hedges, and that's worked out real well. So on the upside is 10.40. On the downside is the 200-day moving average, which is right around 9.49, 9.50 level. That report day low in November beans is going to mean a lot to me for the next 45 days. So that makes the technicals relatively easy for the November beans. We take that low out from the report day. We're taking also out the 200-day moving average, and you open yourself up to easily, in my opinion, easily going back below $9.
Now, what are we going to do with corn? Because at this point, we're looking at probably just working with crop insurance and more taking a healthier look at the acre program at this point, too, as to a viable option in the marketplace.
I'd be real careful about relying solely upon crop insurance just because you're not going to get, yes, you're protected for $560, $580 an acre, but you're not going to get that big of a check, and so you still got to pay your bills. I think the corn is relatively simple at this point. The trade is going to trade after this week, the 87 million acres and a 155 yield. And like last year, Todd, I don't think it's there. You can't have both big acres and big yield. So I think this year, even more than last year, it's going to be difficult to pull that one out of the hat again. So our mindset is let the market fall 60 to 70 cents. Decide whether you want to buy some puts and get, you know, hedged for that 60 to 70 cent break. But by the same token, be very ready as you approach the 325 level in Dease corn. The $3 level is our undervalue level. As you get closer to those levels, dump out of the puts and get ready to buy calls, because I think, A, the market's going to overdo it to the downside because of this big acre, big yield mindset. B, if you are going to play the crop insurance, you better well keep that price. If you go down to 325 or below, you better make sure that price you hold on to through the fall. The only way you can do that is to go ahead and re-own it and buy some calls to you know, make sure you get that lower price level secure when the fall time period does come. So I think there's a lot to be done. I've noticed this week a lot of clients, a lot of producers are ready to walk away from the market, disengage from the market. I think that's a very big mistake because there's still a lot of money on the table here, in my opinion.
Yeah, so what you're suggesting is that if you must sell it, go ahead and sell it, but re-own it.
Absolutely, because not only do you want to re-own it from the sale that you're making at, because your revenue is just not there to get you to break even, you have to re-own it from that standpoint, in my view. Also, you have to re-own it from a standpoint of maybe you do have a $60 or $70 crop insurance claim coming by the end of July, early August, but what if the market jumps back up 40 or 60 cents? All of a sudden, you're back down to only $10 or $15 of a crop insurance check, and I know I'm just throwing numbers out, but keep in mind that crop insurance did cost, you know, 25 or 30 bucks, so you're not going to be super happy. And I remember last year, and you probably do too, a lot of clients and a lot of producers really excited about the crop insurance amount they got. They were very happy with beans, but extremely disappointed in corn when it was all said and done. So I think that's a very big concern and a potential pitfall again this year.
What are you and Chuck, who is a farmer, talking about when you look at the other program, when they look at acre program? Is that something that your clients are asking you about, that you and Chuck have discussed? Has it changed in mindset now that we have an 87 million acre corn crop, according to USDA?
None of our clients, we talked about this after the report and late in the week, none of our clients have even thought about that, I don't think, because of what we're dealing with in terms of price action. I did take note during the winter meetings that a lot of the people that were in attendance were concerned about how much information, personal information, they were going to have to give out, how much extra information and detailed information they were going to have to get from their landlord. So I wonder whether that's still resonating in the back of their minds. I guess most of me thinks, and I think Chuck would say the same thing, that it's just not something they're going to think about right now because, quite frankly, the people in our listening area are so far behind and they have such weak crop stands right now, so much spraying to get done. That's probably the very furthest thing from their mind right now.
Well, I guess we'll hear more. Actually, I know we'll hear more from Gary Schnitke just in, 3 minutes or so here on this program. He'll be here to talk about the acre program and the decisions that producers have to make yet this summer. They have until the 15th of August to do that if they'd like. One final note from you. What do you see in the wheat market?
Well, it needs to bottom. It held up very nicely this week after the report. I was very happy that we held the $5 level, the 504 level, but it kind of goes back to what we've talked about in the past few weeks. Wheat's a great indicator in the next 10 to 15 days here as to whether the market in general feels comfortable we can go down to the next level. In other words, we had these real high price levels the last 3 years, haven't been able to get much below $5. If we would go below $5, then we're back into the 10-year trading band where 5's the top end, 375 is the bottom end. So if we go back down below that $5 level, that's probably the new channel, the new resistance, and the market says, okay, supplies are adequate, let's take it back a notch here for the new crop with the southern hemisphere. And so we may be in for a longer term where the wheat doesn't really get itself back up above $5.
Mike, I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Happy 4th of July, Todd.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzulo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Join us here on Illinois Public Media.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The end of June and the beginning of July was more like the end of September and the beginning of October across Illinois. A strong cold front that swept through Illinois last weekend pushed out the hot, humid weather we had been experiencing and brought in much cooler, drier air. After several days with record high minimum and maximum temperatures last week, there were a number of locations in Illinois that set new record low maximum temperatures early this week. The cool air lingered as a strong and slow-moving upper-level low-pressure system drifted southeast through the Great Lakes. Temperatures began to climb towards normal by the end of this week as the low weakened and moved into southern Ontario. Average temperatures for the week ranged from near normal in southern Illinois, where there was more sunshine, to 6 degrees below normal in northern Illinois. By midweek, high temperatures were 10 to 15 degrees below normal in northern and central Illinois, with highs only in the low 60s to low 70s. Temperatures early next week will remain near normal and then begin to climb toward the end of the week as the upper ridge reestablishes itself over the central U.S. A few showers and thunderstorms are possible early in the week south and later in the week north as the warm, humid air streams northward. However, it could be a dry week for many locations in Illinois. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This program was recorded Thursday, July the 2nd, 2009. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In studio with us today is Gary Schnittke. He's a farm management specialist in the Department of ACE from the College of ACES. That's the Agricultural College on campus here in Urbana-Champaign. Thanks for being with us today, Gary.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, after USDA released the latest crop report, looking at the acreage numbers, we now have 87 million acres of corn that dramatically dropped the price of corn in Chicago on the day that it was released. And it looks like the cash price of corn will probably be below $4 on the average for the coming crop season or marketing year. And I would think that might make acre look better than it has in the past, and that, well, the 1,000 farms that had been signed up for it, according to USDA, might multiply pretty quickly. So the question is, in Illinois, the Midwest, how should producers think about the acre program with the new change in supply and demand figures.
Yeah, with the new change in supply and demand, I think you'd say that that was pretty bearish on prices for the 2009 through 2010 crop year, and that will increase the chance of getting an acre payment. If we are looking at lower 2000 prices in 2009 for the 2009-10 crop, that will increase the chance of getting a payment under acre. But it's not likely to result in a payment under the counter-cyclical program, because we would have to have corn prices in the average below 233. So we're not likely to get down there. But we've increased the chance of seeing an acre payment, so it shades it more towards taking acre
as opposed to staying in the regular program.
Yeah, as opposed to the staying in the regular program. And the decision sort of works this way: you can move into acre any year you want to between now and 2012, but you can't move back to the traditional program. If you move to acre, you give up 20% of your direct payments, which on most Illinois farms is $4 to $5. If you believe 2009 was going to be a high price year and good yields, you probably would be more likely to stick with the traditional program. That way you didn't give up your $4 or $5 in direct payments. But now we're looking at lower prices as well as probably state yields. And again, acre is a revenue program that makes payments based on what happens to state revenue. And state yields are likely to be lower than you would have expected earlier. And that's just based on late planting. Obviously, there's a lot of weather to go yet. And if we have a good July, we could see really good yields, but given the late planting, I would expect state average corn yields to be lower than trend line.
It's obvious that around the nation, corn farmers have not signed up for acre program to this point. That despite the figures, I think, even from the Farm Doc team here on campus that said this probably is a program you should really consider. Do you think things have changed enough that farmers will sign up for the acre program now?
It'll cause them to look at it, and it's always hard to predict what farmers are going to do. But again, what we see in general with acre is that if you switch to acre, you give up $4 to $5 in direct payments, but you increase your chance of an acre payment or on that state revenue versus a counter-cyclical program. And over time, we would expect that acre payment to be much larger than that $4 to $5 you give up in direct payments. When it happens, acre payments on corn, given history, will average about $50 an acre. So, and they'll happen in about 30% of the years. So that's sort of the guide. And again, coming in off of the acreage report, we're now looking at lower prices for 2009, lower yields. So those farmers that thought about waiting till 2010 to sign up might want to reconsider that, because there's a pretty good chance we'll have an acre payment in 2009 or more of a chance.
Is there a difference if you live west of the Mississippi River as opposed to east of the Mississippi River? So if you're in a state like Iowa, or Nebraska, Kansas even, Minnesota, where it looks like you've got a heck of a crop that's in the ground growing. I guess there is much of a difference between eastern and western Corn Belt producers on this one?
Oh, over time, you wouldn't expect much difference. Just between Illinois and Iowa, you wouldn't expect acre to perform much differently than Illinois and Iowa. In 2009, for the 2009 year, acre will likely pay more for Illinois than Iowa, just simply because Iowa looks like it's having a better yielding year. And again, acre's a state revenue program, so their yields will be likely higher than Illinois, or that's what you'd be guessing at this point in time. So you might see Iowa farmers not jumping on acres much for 2009, but over time the two states will have pretty equal performance in acre.
On the FarmDoc website, are there tools that producers can use?
Yep, there is a acre fast tool that they can look at to see when acre will make payments. We have a number of farm economic facts and opinion pieces that will outline the acre decision. We have a number of presentations in our presentation section that just describe acre and its benefits.
And the decision has to be made by the 15th of August.
That's correct. And at that date, you'll have to indicate for each one of your FSA farms, or you'll indicate whether you want to switch them to acre. If you switch them to acre, you'll have to provide a yield history for the past 5 years. Can't provide that, they'll plug it in at 90% of the county average. And by end of September, you also have to indicate a priority for crops for getting acre payments, and that priority generally should be corn first, wheat second if you have any wheat, and soybeans third.
And then finally, because this is based on FSA farms, you don't have to put all your acres in the acre program. You can divvy that up. Are there particular farm characteristics that would be better in the acre program than others?
If a farmer has a choice of farms, probably those farms that have a higher corn or planting more corn should be switched to acre. Those farms that have higher yields would be more likely candidates for acre. And also, you might the decision on landlords or whether the landlord wants to go along with the acre should also be involved in that decision.
That's different than the landlord's not different, but putting your best farm most likely to be in corn is a different decision than have been made in the past too.
That's correct. And what our result shows that corn will tend to make higher acre payments than soybeans. It's actually corn, wheat, and soybeans. So if you're planting more acres of corn, that increases your chance of acre payments. And yields, a farmer's previous yields influence the acre payments because each acre payment is adjusted by farm average yield compared to the state average yield. So you'd put farms with higher yields in it because acre payments will be higher on those farms.
Thanks much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnittke is a farm management specialist at the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to Illinois Public Media.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333 and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you. We'll be right back.